Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. For those of you who have just joined us recently, Covenant EFC is going through the Gospel of Matthew in the year 2025. There are four Gospels in the Bible. Each Gospel tells the story of the same Jesus from a different angle for a different emphasis. Today, we are covering from this passage on understanding how the author arranges the events in today's passage to highlight an emphasis for us. The emphasis that the author is trying to highlight from Matthew chapter 3 to chapter 4, verse 16, is on true obedience, Jesus's true obedience. Matthew intentionally, masterfully arranges the three events in today's passage to highlight that for us. So before we dive into the reading of God's Word, it is important for us to understand the context of where this passage is fit in the overall Gospel of Matthew. In the entire Gospel of Matthew, there are three sections, two hinges. And we can see the first hinge is in chapter 4, verse 17. Second hinge is in chapter 16, verse 21. And this has been preached to us by Pastor Benjamin Sun 2 weeks ago. And today's passage lies in the first section of the entire Gospel. And today's passage is really all about Jesus' identity as God's true obedient Son who brings restoration from exile and inaugurates God's kingdom in Israel and all nations. And today's passage happens just before the first hinge when Jesus says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and saying to them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, in chapter 4, verse 17. So today, before we dive into the reading of God's Word, it's important for us to understand, hey, why is this the emphasis of today's passage? Before I dive straight in to tell you to apply this main point, it's important for us to find out, how does this surface from the context, from the background, at least in chapter 1 to chapter 4? So beginning with Jesus is the one, the God's obedient Son who brings restoration from exile. We can see the theme of bringing restoration, God's restoration from exile, not only in chapter 3, not only in chapter 4, but beginning from chapter 1 and 2. There are verses that tells us Jesus comes to bring restoration from exile. So I'm not going to highlight all the verses, but let us zoom in at chapter 2. Verses 13 to 15, to appreciate what John is trying to emphasize in our passage today. Verses 13 to 15. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. This particular phrase from the Old Testament prophet, out of Egypt I call my son, conveys a theme of God restoring God's people from exile and returning them back to the land. From the scholar Mark Trouss, this is what he says. Matthew has been criticized for taking this Old Testament passage out of context, applying it to Jesus' return from Egypt when it was originally about Israel's exodus from Egypt. In fact, the author is developing a sophisticated Israel-Jesus typology, just as Israel emerged from Egypt in God's great act of salvation. So Jesus is the true Israel, emerges from Egypt to bring salvation to his people, thus conveying a theme of God restoring God's people from exile and bringing them back to the land. We can see that in the context of the first session. So Jesus is the obedient Son who not only brings God's people from restoration from exile, but also also inaugurates God's kingdom in Israel and in all nations. Jesus comes to save not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. He comes to inaugurate God's kingdom, not just among the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. We can see how Matthew intentionally includes the Gentiles in the genealogy in chapter 1, how he mentioned about the presence of Magi in chapter 2 on the birth narrative of Jesus. Just to highlight to us the passage that we are targeting today, in chapter 3 to chapter 4, verse 16, it's all about Jesus as God's obedient son, who brings restoration from exile and inaugurates God's kingdom over Israel and all nations. Likewise, today Jesus comes to restore us from our wilderness and ignite God's reign in our life. This is what we want to apply today in today's passage, from today's sermon. And it's important for us to understand, where did it come from the context from chapter 1 to chapter 4. When we look at the main idea from today's passage, all of us desire that, isn't it? We want Jesus to restore us, to rule in our lives. We want Jesus to drive away the bullies in schools, remove the oppression in our workplace, or vindicate us as we experience the injustice in life. But before we welcome Jesus to restore and rule in our lives, there is one condition. Before all this, there is one condition before He can come to restore us from our wilderness and ignite God's reign in our life. Before we dive in to read the Word of God in today's passage to understand the one condition, let us pray. Father, fill us with Your Spirit to understand Your Word. May we not just be hearers, but doers of Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Matthew arranges the events in today's passage to highlight one condition that must take place before Jesus comes to restore His people from exile and inaugurates God's kingdom over Israel and the nations. He arranges the three events to highlight that one condition. So you have to follow along with me so that you can understand what the author is trying to say. Event number one. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, it is all about John the Baptist as the forerunner of Jesus' ministry, calling the Jews to repent from the disobedience in their covenant relationship with God. We're not going to read the whole chunk for 12 verses, but we're going to zoom in to understand what is this passage all about. Let's read from verses 7 to 10. But when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who want you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our fathers.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire." To have Abraham as their forefathers is not enough. As the descendants of Abraham, having a covenant relationship with God, they ought to love God and live out their missional calling, and that is to be a blessing to the ends of the earth, to expand God's kingdom to the ends of the earth. But God's people failed to do that. And that's why John the Baptist called them, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent for not living up your missional calling." The second event that Matthew intentionally includes in today's entire long passage is event number two. It is in chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. It's to highlight Jesus' obedience to his Father as he chose to be baptized. And that fulfills God's faithfulness to the covenant promises to Israel. It is important for us to note that for Jesus to go through the baptism, it highlights his obedience to the Father and also his willingness to be identified with the sinners he came to save. And that's why the Father is so pleased with Jesus. And we can see that in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. It says this: "When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" From this text, we can see God is so pleased with Jesus' obedience. This is so different as compared to the earlier event where God is so displeased with Israel's disobedience. you can see how Matthew, in the first and second event, intentionally contrasted Israel's disobedience with Jesus' true obedience, the yellow versus the blue. There is a third event that we must sit up and pay attention. And that is the passage in chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. We will not read the entire passage, but I'm just going to summarize for all of us. This passage, it is about the temptation that Jesus went through in the wilderness. It is all about Jesus' obedience in his relationship with God in the 40 days of wilderness versus Israel's disobedience in the 40 years of wilderness. When we look at that disobedience versus Jesus' obedience, when we look at the yellow versus the blue, there's something that the author wants to tell us. It is not just stories that we read in the entire passage. Actually, God's people didn't look so bad in their disobedience until they were compared with Jesus' true obedience. The yellow and the blue is to tell us something. God's people really had serious problem in the area of obedience, and therefore, they have to repent. Before Jesus comes to bring restoration and to inaugurate God's rule in their lives, in Israel and in the nations, they must firstly repent. That's why, in the beginning of today's passage, John the Baptist tells them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's why after our long chunk of passage that we're covering, the first hinge in verse 17, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From the understanding of how the author arranges this passage, to us, Jesus says, he comes to restore us from our wilderness, ignite his reign in our lives, but it must begin with repentance in our relationship with God. He comes to restore and rule, but it must begin with our repentance in the area of allegiance. Let us recall the temptation that Jesus went through in the desert. This is what the scholar Jeanine Brown says. Each of Jesus' responses from Deuteronomy to the tempter revolves around questions of allegiance. For Matthew and for all of us, allegiance to God is fundamental to living a life of covenant loyalty. Allegiance to God is fundamental to living a life of covenant loyalty. So what is allegiance? After saying that, what exactly is allegiance? How does allegiance look like in everyday life? Allegiance is allowing Jesus to have his way, giving him the final say, especially during wilderness season of our lives, when we face limited resources as we go through challenges, when we feel that bad things should not happen to us because God should always protect his children, isn't it? Or when we feel that God's plan doesn't make sense and there seems to be a better way than his. Jesus was tempted in similar ways when he went through the 40 days wilderness in chapter 4. In the desert, when he faced limited resources, he was tempted to turn stones into bread. He was tempted by the devil to believe that God would always protect his children, even if he were to jump off from the building, from the temple. He was also tempted to worship devil, which is a better option than to obey God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are often tempted in the similar ways as well. When we face limited resources, we are tempted to light out our own path, do it our own way. We don't always run to Jesus first. When we face challenges, difficulties, it's easy to just do it our way. We struggle with second temptation as well. You know, the devil quietly tells us, as God's children, we should always be protected while living in this evil world. The devil quietly tells us that when you serve God faithfully, you should be protected from all hardships such as retrenchment, sickness, injustice. If you are going through difficult situations, there must be something wrong with you or something wrong with God. That's what the devil tells us every moment when we are going through challenges. Temptation number three. We are tempted all the time, many times, to prefer God's way versus our way. Because most of the time, God's way doesn't make sense, isn't it? For those of us who live long enough, walk long enough with Christ in our discipleship journey, we often feel that God's way is ineffective, unproductive, inefficient. We don't know why He is doing this. It doesn't make sense. There is a better path. It's better to follow that path than to follow God. And we struggle with temptation number three because the truth is that God's ways are often higher than our ways. And because His ways are often higher, we can't even see, perceive, or understand. And we struggle with temptation number three. Today, God is calling us to repent in the area of allegiance by saying a prayer of repentance. Lord, have Your way in my life. I don't understand, but I let You have the final say. I'm going through a difficult situation right now. I choose to believe that You are with me. Have Your way in my life. You know, the beautiful journeys that I've been through in life were not the holidays that I took with my family or my friends. The beautiful journeys that I've been through in life were the prolonged wilderness season of my life. Some of my close friends would know some of these journeys on a personal note. Because when we go through wilderness, God doesn't just bring us through wilderness to test us. He doesn't just do that, you know. He brings us through wilderness to expose the inner scripts in our life and to deliver us and to set us free. What are these inner scripts? Some of the inner scripts could be script number one. You're only good enough when you perform excellently. Script number two, you're only who you are when people accept and approve you. Script number three, you truly belong when you can fit in. So you better fit in. Keep quiet and fit in. Some of these scripts we inherited in our childhood or even from the world. And God allows us to go through wilderness, not just to test us, but to expose the inner scripts and to deliver us. He doesn't just test us as a sadist God and to torture us. No. You know, the devil tells us when we go through wilderness seasons, he tells us God brings you through wilderness to take something away from you. No. God brings us through wilderness to give us something, to give us a new beginning, a new script, a new faith, a new courage. He wants to restore us from our wilderness. He wants to ignite His reign once again in our lives. But it begins with repentance. It begins with repentance. Lord, have Your way in my life. I don't understand. I'm facing limited resources. I'm going to submit to You. Guide me. Have a final say in my life. Jesus comes to restore us from our wilderness and ignite His reign in our lives. And it begins with repentance in the area of allegiance. Number two, repentance for having that sense of apathy in building God's kingdom. You know, as descendants of Abraham, they, having a covenant relationship with God, they were supposed to love God, to live out their missional calling, to be a blessing to the ends of the earth and to expand God's kingdom to the nations. But they failed to do that because when we search through the scriptures, especially in the earlier accounts in the gospel, we don't quite exactly hear God's people having that desire to expand God's kingdom in the gospel, isn't it? Even religious leaders such as the Pharisees, they were only passionate in making God's people to obey the law. Nothing said about expanding God's kingdom. Religious leaders such as Sadducees, they were only more interested in politics rather than religion. They were interested in expanding their power more than expanding the kingdom of God. And God's people at that time had a sense, at the apathy of building God's kingdom. However, it is important for them and us to know that God comes to inaugurate His kingdom, not just among the Jews, but in the Gentiles as well. We read the last passage of our assigned long passage today, and that is chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. And let us pay close attention to this passage. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, He withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, He went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Jesus did not come just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, so that the light may dawn on all people, all nations. Jesus comes to inaugurate his kingdom in all nations, and God's people were not ready, and therefore they had to repent. Today, some of us, God is nudging in your heart to repent for having the apathy in building God's kingdom. It's a lack of passion. It's a state of neglect for shining the light of Jesus in your home, in your community, in your school, in where you served, in where you work, in the nation. It's a lack of passion. I'm not talking about time, activities that you should be involved. No, because some of you are in the season of life that you really can't. You really can't, and God understands. But I'm addressing the spiritual downness, the lack of passion for the name of Jesus to be lifted high among the lost. You know, in Covenant EFC, we don't have a lack of programs. But honestly, as a church, we have a lack of passion, a lack of interest in God's kingdom. Let us review some of the programs we have in Covenant EFC, starting from the nations. We seek to expand God's kingdom in the nations, and that's why in the entire year on Sundays, we have at least two Sundays that talking about Mission Sunday. We have missions trip, we have missions initiatives, we have missions a month, prayer meeting, because Covenant EFC seeks to obey God, to expand his kingdom in the nations. But coming closer to home, to Singapore. That's why we have New Life Community Services. We have Come Blessed, because we seek to shine the light of Jesus in various parts of Singapore to expand the kingdom of God in Singapore. Coming closer to where we are right now in Woodlands Center, God has planted us in the Woodlands community to do good in the land. That's why at least 10 years ago, we have some CGs in Woodlands Center started the work of storytelling. They tell the stories from the Bible to community kids in the void deck of the blocks near our church, to tell them Bible stories and to form that community with them. And they have been doing for at least 10 years. And last November, the kids and their families actually came to our Woodlands Center for us to share more with them on the Bible, the Christmas story in the month of December, November. Beyond storytelling, for at least 10 years, the next generation have been leading the parents, the DMKs, and the next generation to go out to the blocks around Woodlands Center to do CNY Bless. During Chinese New Year, we bring oranges, our flyers, our programs, to just say, hey, Happy New Year, and we give them the 橘子, just to 拜年. And over the years, the residents have been looking forward for the children to come. And some of them even stand by angpao, you know, when the children come, they're ready to give angpao to the kids, because they want to bless the kids as well. Why do we do that? We want to tell the residents that, hey, we are here. Covenant EFC is here. Should you need help, come in. We want to help you. We want to do good in the land. End of this month, we are going to have Kids Fun Day. We're going to have a lot of game booths, not only on level 4, but in level 1. A lot of games for the purpose, the reason, for our young children in TNG to invite their friends. Come to my church. My church is going to have Kids Fun Day. But more than that, we are going to invite the residents. Remember, we have a lot of community kids. Some of the CGs have been ministering to them for the past 10 years. We want them to be able to walk into the church, play some games with us, and in one of the game stations, there will be a presentation of a gospel. Why do we do all this? It's so that we seek to expand God's kingdom, not just in nations, not just in Singapore, but in the Woodlands community that God has planted us to do good in the land. But we don't want to just expand God's kingdom through programs. When we come here on Sundays, we should expand God's kingdom. We should shine the light of Jesus through our behaviors, isn't it? So the truth is, when you exit from the sanctuary and go down to the bus stop to take bus 901, do you push the Woodlands residents aside just to squeeze up the bus? I don't know, some of you are giggling. I don't know whether you do that or not. But when you find tables in Vista Point, do you fight with the Woodlands residents. For the tables in Vista Point, or from your behavior, the Woodlands resident actually noticed that you're Christian, you're from Covenant EFC, and they are seeing how you shine the light of Jesus in this community. When you drive out from the building, when you walk outside the church, from your countenance, do you smile at them? Do they see the love of Christ from your behavior the moment you step out? Because the truth is that we don't want to just expand God's kingdom through programs. We want to expand God's kingdom through the way we behave, especially on Sundays in this community. This is what late Timothy Keller says. If you and your church were to disappear off the face of earth tomorrow, would anyone in the community around you notice you were gone? And if the community did even notice, would they say, "We are really glad they're gone"? Or would they say, "We're going to miss them"? Or maybe some of them might say, "We didn't even know they existed." This quotation from Timothy Keller is so searching for us. I'm not asking you to be involved in programs. I'm urging us to have a passion for the lost, for a passion to shine the light of Jesus. It could be as simple as the way you smile at the Woodlands residents. In Covenant EFC, we don't have a lack of programs, from the Nations to Singapore to Woodlands Center. I'm going to zoom in further right now to the activity within the church wall. And that is our next generation. Just because our next generations, they are born in the Christian church, it doesn't mean that they're found in Christ. Our next generation can be equally lost as people found outside the church. And that's why over the years, the church leaders have been asking you, step up to disciple the next generation. Win the lost. Lift up the name of Jesus among the next generation. Not only among the next generation, but Woodlands community in Singapore and in the nations. We have no lack of programs in our church. But we have a lack of passion. And today we need to ask God, forgive me. Lord, give me a passion for the name of Jesus to be lifted high among the lost. Give me that passion. I'm not asking you to involve in activities. I'm asking you to pray that prayer. Give me that passion. You know, the truth is that we have more passion for our loved ones who have yet to receive Christ. And that's good. That's a good news. That's a good place to begin. This season, I have the privilege of witnessing tears of covenanters who came to me and said, "Pastor Sharon, my parents have not prayed to receive Christ. Can you pray along with me?" I have witnessed also tears of joy, eyes of joy from covenanters. Just last Sunday, a brother came to me and told me that, "You know, Pastor Sharon, my parents prayed to receive Christ in the bilingual service, and today they are settling in the Chinese service. Praise God." Just a few days ago, a brother, a faithful leader in Woodlands Center, shared with me that he finally had an opportunity to share Christ with his father, and dad prayed to receive Christ on his deathbed. And I had the privilege to baptize uncle just before he passed away. And these are wonderful stories. These are tears that we shed for our loved ones. But more than that, we want to ask God to give us tears. Tears for the lost beyond our family. Ask God to give us passion to lift up the name of Jesus in the Woodlands community. We want to ask God, give us compassion for the lost in the nations. Because the truth is that there are many people who are hungry to know Jesus, but we are not so passionate to share Christ. You know, this Chinese New Year season, in the middle of cooking and preparing for Chinese New Year, the gas in my stove, we ran out of the gas. So because my family, we are still using the traditional gas cylinder, so we caught up and said, "Hey, can you send a gas cylinder to my home?" So the delivery man came and he was busy fixing to the stove. And then I felt the prompting from God to give him an angpao, you know, thank him for delivering the gas cylinder during the Chinese New Year. I think it was 2E or 2E. So I took the angpao that has a Bible verse, I put the money inside, and I say, "Hey, thank you for coming during Chinese New Year season. I just want to bless you. Before I bless you, can you read the Bible verse?" So he's from China. He said, sure. So he read out the Bible verse, and then he paused, and then he said, "Do you know I've always wanted to believe in Jesus when I was in China, and I never had a chance?" And I said, "Do you have 3 minutes? Because they are delivery people, they have back-to-back schedule. Do you have 3 minutes? Allow me to share the gospel with you." So in that 3 minutes, I shared the gospel, and he prayed to receive Christ. Praise God. So as I reflect upon that experience, I wonder, perhaps those who are lost may be more eager to know Jesus than the Christians in the church who are willing to share Christ. Perhaps, I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether that applies to you. Perhaps. So today we don't want to follow the footsteps of God's people. They were descendants of Abraham. They were supposed to be excited to love God and to expand God's kingdom to the ends of the earth. But they failed to do that. Today, we want to come to God to say, God, forgive me. Give me at least a passion. Stir it up in my heart that I may love the lost. You know, coming to the end of the sermon, if you were to just focus on repentance, I'm going to share the sad news to all of us. The sad news is this. We are going to fail big time if we just focus on repentance. If we just focus on God, can you forgive me? Have your way in me. Can you give me a passion for your name? If we are just going to focus on repentance, we are going to fail. Because God's people repented countless times in the Old Testament. They didn't just repent once. They repented so many times, yet they failed. We need to understand, why did Matthew arrange the event in those manner in chapter 3 to chapter 4? Is to highlight not Israel's disobedience, is to contrast with Jesus' true obedience. So the defining moment is not repentance. The defining moment is asking all of us to focus on Jesus' true obedience. Because of Jesus' true obedience to the Father, even onto the cross, we are empowered by His Spirit to live out these prayers of repentance today. So the key is not ourselves gritting our teeth and trying to strive as a Christian. No. The key is look at Jesus, His true obedience. And because of what He did at the cross, He will empower us to have His way in our life. He will empower us to give us a passion for His name. He will empower us. Whatever work that He has started, He will be faithful to finish it. Let us pray. Jesus, we're not going to focus on ourselves. Because when we look at our lives, we're not going to make it. All of us are not going to make it. Today we want to look at You. We want to run to You. We want to lean on You. We want to ask You, have Your way in us. Stir it up in our hearts. We want to ask You, give us a passion for Your name. So church, can I invite you to rise and let us respond to God with this song, and I'll return to lead us to pray together.
There must be more.
There must be more than this. Breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for You.
Fill us, Lord.
Fill us anew.
Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Speak to us, O Lord.
Fill us anew.
Consuming fire,
fanning to flame, a passion for Your name, Spirit of God, fall in this place.
Have Your way, O
Lord. Have Your way.
Have Your way.
Have Your way.
Come. our prayer, Lord.
I want to invite some of you here. You know the Spirit is stirring in your hearts. You want God to have His way in you, to stir up a passion for you. If this is your desire, with all eyes closed, if your knees are able, I'm going to invite you to just kneel where you are. Kneel where you are, and I'm going to allow you to have 1 minute of silence, transacting with God. Just talk to your Father. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. And ask Him, help. Help me. Help me. Father, we come before You to ask You for forgiveness, individually, corporately, for a lack of passion for what really matters upon You and Your kingdom. Father, we ask that You stir it up. Grant to us what we cannot manufacture, an allegiance that is only loyal to You and You alone, an interest, a passion for what matters upon Your heart and Your kingdom. May You graciously give to us. Give to us not because of what we are, who we are, how good we are, but may You grant that revival because of who You are and for Your glory. With all eyes closed, I want to speak to some of you here who may not know Jesus, but you desire Jesus to restore you from your wilderness, to ignite His reign, to rule over the chaos of your life. And today you admit and you confess that you are a sinner, and you believe that by the blood of Jesus, His death at the cross, that your sins are forgiven and you can be transformed. And if this is your desire to receive and believe in Jesus, can I invite you to raise your hand with all eyes closed? I want to pray for you. Is there anyone receiving Jesus for the first time? Up in the gallery, in level 2, on-site, online space as well. I want to pray for you. Father, we want to bless our friends who may be receiving Christ for the first time in the on-site and even in the online space. We give thanks to you for today their sins are forgiven. For today you come and live in their hearts. Today you will begin the restoration work in their lives. You will rule as King, Lord and Savior and Master over their chaos, over their turbulent world. May they experience the love of Christ like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us rise and sing the bridge again.
Stand up in our hearts, Lord. Stand up in our hearts, Lord. Stand up in our hearts, Lord. A passion for your name.
You had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.